Well, hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Going Downhill. This is Wendy.
And I'm Shelley.
Hey Shelley, how are ya?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. Busy watching some races, having some fun. The snow is flying here, so that's nice.
Oh, finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had to wipe off the truck the other day and get ready to head out to Mont Tremblant for next weekend. You ready? Are you ready for the flight?
Yes, I'm ready for the flight.
How's your Francais?
Pas bon.
That summarizes it pretty well. Ouais, Lala.
Yeah, ouais.
All right. Boy. Well, I mean, we are in North America now. Do you know what I love about the racing being in North America?
Nope.
The time change.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Isn't it nice not to have to wake up at 4 in the morning and catch these races?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, no, thank you. Painful. Yeah, it's good. It's nice. It's been fun to watch.
How have you been, Wendy? I was selfishly forgot to ask you.
Oh, thank you for asking. My daughter saved some souls on the transit yesterday.
How so?
A guy was brandishing a knife, and she saved a couple of older fellas and an older lady from the guy who was trying to stab people.
Oh, nice. So she basically, her mixed martial arts training has come in handy.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't mess with my daughter.
Yeah,
yo.
She is tough. I will give her that. I you know, me and I've taken quite a few martial arts, but
yes.
I have to say every woman should learn how to punch and defend themselves. It's
absolutely.
Handy skill. So you can save people on transits. So.
That's right. Exactly.
Nice. Well,
you got
good
it.
For Mickey. Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah, I know. Me
give
too.
Give her a good punch in the shoulder for me, will you?
I figured she got arrested. I'm like, oh no. She goes, no, I didn't get arrested. Oh, okay, good. That's your story.
I love how your default is arrest.
The look on her face, I'm like, oh God, what did she do now? Anyway, all good.
Well, speaking of strong women, we had some races this weekend. Yeah. Only the women's were racing this weekend. I guess the guys traveling North America, getting everything done, just, you know, busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the ladies then.
All right. So we are in Killington, the beast of the East.
That's what they say. Mm-hmm. Did you know that this is the largest ski area in the eastern U.S.?
I did.
Uh-huh. Did you know it's 3 hours south of Montreal?
I did.
Oh, God damn it. Did you know that the first World Cup was held in 2016 there?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Is there anything you don't know?
Well, Killington is a resort that is close, and also all of my ski friends generally tried to get there to go and see it. I have a friend who's a TD who was the TD for the race last time, so, you know, like, you do these things. Also, you do camps and stuff out there, you know, people who are going to the academies. A lot of the racers from Ontario end up going to academies or university in the East and do ski Killington quite often. Also, I have been there, I don't know, like a long time ago when I was a kid. So, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
do you know, you brought up TD. Do you know who the TD is for these ladies races? Something you don't know.
It's Sue Schwartz.
Yes, my friend Sue.
Nice.
Yeah, Alberta girl. So that's exciting, moving up the ranks and TD for the Women's World Cup. So that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. And while we're talking about the course name is Superstar. It starts at a start altitude of 1,128 meters. So not too high, obviously, compared to the glaciers that we've been on recently. The start altitude is 782 meters the finish altitude is 782 meters. The vertical drop is 346.
And they have some pretty steep sections in there too, hey?
Yeah, so usually there's been quite windy the past couple of years, so they've actually brought the start down. And that first start, we haven't really seen the top part of that hill very much, and I like it. I like the way this starts off.
I like the terrain, but it was very, very windy. You could see the trees blowing and the gates blowing and the wind swirling. But you know what's really good is the ladies actually get to free ski on that run the day prior.
Yeah.
And the men don't. So I'm sure they got a little feel for the terrain when they got their free ski in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, they've been there for a couple of days getting used to the time change and getting to the gym and getting everything ready. So, and then, you know, the course workers, 250 course workers put this together. So thanks to all the volunteers, always appreciated. And our first course setter for run one was Switzerland, Alois Prenn. And our second course setter was Sweden with Walter Gerardi, I'm going to say is his name. Sure. Anyway, so both runs had 40-38 gates. And why is that, Wendy? Why was first run and second run so similar in their set?
Well, I do believe it's because they simply moved the gate over 1 meter, all the red side of the gates all got moved over 1 meter, and that's legal. You just have to move one gate to make it a course change. So they were trying to keep the rhythm the same, I guess, sweeping turns, but some of the sections were starting to break through. So they just decided to move the red gates over a little bit. Totally legal.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, as we do, we'll just explain that. When you see a course that kind of shadows the course that was prior, it's usually due to safety, and it's obviously the course setter's choice, but also it has to do with the terrain and the snow conditions a lot of the time.
That's right. And snow conditions, hard, icy, right? It's a lot of it was artificial snow, so it's sometimes hard to feel that snow underneath your feet because it is a different feel than natural snow.
Yep, yep. We were averaging a temperature of minus 10 at the top and between minus 8 and minus 6 at the bottom. So it's pretty good conditions, actually. But we also have to take into account that the lighting does change from first to second run.
That's right. It does get a little bit flatter than the later afternoon start. That's for sure, because that could affect some of the people's feel for the snow because you can't see it. And the sport is very touchy-feely, right, with their feet. So yeah.
With your feet. I love how you do it.
I'm a feely person.
If you're touchy and feeling the course with your hands, something has gone very wrong.
I did see a few of those, so not good.
Yeah, we did. Well, yeah. We'll get to that anyway. Do you have anything that really popped out on you on first run?
Not really. It's just really the terrain and trying to see the girls get into that terrain and work the terrain that is presented them at the time. It's about getting balanced. You have to have that good balance because the snow is very... it can be grippy, but it's icy. It's hard. You've got to have the right balance on those skis. So some of the girls did have a bit of trouble with that on the first run. One of the gals was at Marta Bassino. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. She slid, I don't know, the whole length of the course down.
Yeah, well, we'll get that to that on second run, isn't that?
That was her second run, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It's like, where is she going?
Because I have things to say about that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
I mean... First run, there wasn't a huge bunch of surprises. Unfortunately, we had a Norwegian athlete, Teveberg. I'm going to say that improperly. Her name is Maria Therese, bib number 21. She had a season ender. It's on her Instagram. So we'll check
good.
In and see what's going on with her medically later on. But, I mean, that's always sad to hear.
Yeah, especially when they're just starting out, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then, I mean, the usual suspects, Timmerman Claire, Canadian 60, popped out, did not finish.
That's right. So she didn't finish. And our other two gals, Sarah Bennett and Cassie Gray, they didn't qualify, unfortunately.
No. And I mean, those ladies, as far as I'm aware, are usually more in the slalom side of things anyway. So, I mean, there's quite a few more slalom specialists you'll see. So we're going to mix it up a little bit in the results, whereas the slalom seems to be pretty consistent generally with the top five. And
yes, it does.
GS can vary quite a lot depending because, I mean, one of the favorites coming into this is Lara Gut-Berami, as always. She's on fire. She's been on the cup for 17 seasons now, I think it is. Wow. And you know what? But here's the thing is she's, I think, 32 or 33. And I think people
32.
Forget. Yeah, I think people forget that she started when she was 16.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a long time.
So it's not really all that surprising. And I mean, when people are talking about the new Albanian sensation, Lara Kulturi, she's 17 years old, right? So
that's
it's not
right.
That so you do have these younger stars come in, and it is a sport where you can peak early. There are some young starters that come in, but your career can last a long time.
That's right. Staying healthy, that's important. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. And they have that team.
Obviously.
And while we're talking about the Albanian athlete here for a second, we might as well mention that we were saying that, oh, okay, Albania, like, you know, sometimes people come from different countries and so on and so forth. The Albanian Lara Kulturi Turi is actually, well, she is Italian as well. Her Italian mother was a Super G champion in 2002, I do believe,
Yeah, Olympic gold.
and is her coach. So,
Yes. Yeah, Daniela Ciccarelli. Ciccarelli, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we'll just stick it at that. So Lara, she was actually the World Junior Super G champion herself last season at the World
Yes.
Juniors.
Yes,
That's
she
pretty
was.
cool.
Yeah, and wonder why she's racing for Albania. Again, it can come down to politics. Maybe the Italian team was like, oh, too young, we don't want to take her yet. And now they're kicking themselves. Who knows?
Who knows? Like it would be a tough decision because Italy's got to have a lot more financial help for the athletes than Albania.
Yeah, but also you never know because the Albanian, if she's skiing for Albania, they could have a whole lot of private sponsors that aren't
Yeah.
hindered by the national government bodies.
Right.
So there's like there are always political decisions that are involved in this. So it would be interesting to find that out, but sometimes that stuff is really hard to uncover because of the
That's
politics.
right. Yes, absolutely. So last year she finished 17th in Killington, and this year she finished 12th. That's pretty good for a 17-year-old. That's awesome. Look good for her. Let's talk about what, third place? Somebody who's always on the podium. Is it surprising she didn't win, Shiffrin?
No, I mean, it's not surprising. Schifrin is her slalom is always her strongest. I mean, she's always been in the top, but she's never really been as strong on this hill in particular. It has always caused her a little bit of trouble. I mean, some people theorize that she's, got her obligations being in the United States. It takes her a while to settle into it. Like from an emotional perspective, she's got a lot of pressure on her. She's also got a lot of obligations to talk to her sponsors, the media, so on and so forth. So is that kind of messing her up day one? I don't know. Again, like the slalom is always the more solid result here, but I mean, she always has the chance to win, but unfortunately, you know what? Came in third.
She got third. She's had 21 GS victories so far. She's 28 years old. So, I mean, she's looking for that 90th win. She did not get that, but she was the GS World Champion in 2023. She can rock it. But she did make a couple of small errors in the second run, and she went from fifth in the first run up to third. So, I think with those couple of small errors to come third is still pretty solid.
Yeah, and I mean, Alice Robinson was first after the first run. She really nailed it. Really aggressive skiing, very solid. By the time, and she was bib number nine, by the time she came down, the course was getting pretty chewed up, and you could see that, especially right off the hop at the top. She really, had a bit of an issue getting some chatter off the skis. I think that kind of cost her a little bit. And then she kind of settled into this rhythm. But her actual second run, she was ninth for the second run. She had the ninth fastest time for the second
Well,
run.
she did three big mistakes. Three. And she just powered on through. It
Yeah,
didn't look
she
like it
is
affected
one
her.
strong young woman.
My God.
Yeah,
Yes.
she's a quite a stout young lady who can
Yes,
power
she
through
is.
that. Wow.
Well, what I like to see is even though she did make three big mistakes, she didn't panic, right? She just, whatever you say, oh shit, and then you keep on going,
Well,
right?
she so her top was messy, and then her bottom, she just gunned it, and you could see her risking her line, and it really paid off. She just decided it straight the when the course straightened out a little bit, she just really started risking things a little bit more and cutting things a little really close to the line there. So good choices, I think, all around, like after she kind of screwed up on the pitch a bit, so
Yeah, well, especially dealing with some of the course deterioration,
yep.
right? Starting 29th, but wow, she's 22 now. She did win races in 2021 and 2019.
Yeah, she won
So,
Solden.
yeah, so she's had a couple of, almost a couple of off years, but she hasn't done as well as she wanted to. So it's really nice to see her back on the podium.
Yeah, and then who was the winner? Lara Goot on fire for the GS.
Oh my God, she just killed it. Like she's skiing so well right now. She was fourth after the first run.
She's really smooth, but one of the things that Lara Goot does really well, and this is also from her speed experience, is she uses the terrain nicely. She picks up
Yeah,
a
she
really
does.
nice line. She's not the biggest skier, but she really has an ability to accelerate off of any little bump, crevice, anything, and she can read a line, of course, and she's very good at avoiding some of those kind of like harder pitfalls that we've seen some of the other racers. Like where that chatter was, she's just not picking
Yeah.
up it the same way. And like she just it's actually quite impressive to see when you're looking at her technique, but her also her ability to read the hill, I think she's one of the best at it for sure.
Well, I kind of think I made a mistake. She was third after the first run in the GS, but she actually won Killington last year, and she was fourth after the first run last year.
Yeah.
She was third after the first run this year. And you know what? When she won the GS in Solden, she was fourth after the first run.
Yeah. So maybe that's
so
her
she
thing.
Must like that. Yeah, exactly.
I think if you're a skier and you want to look at two very different styles of skiing that both did extremely well, I would actually look at Val Grenier, who came in fifth, and Sarah Hector, who came in fourth. Those are two very different styles of skiing on how you can ski this hill. And they're kind of right, almost next to each other. I think there was Bassino who came in between, but she hipped out Bassino. And that's not something you see too often with the Italian women making a very, that was kind of a bit more of a rookie mistake for Bassino, I would say. Like, I was actually quite surprised. Just leaned inside and lost the outside ski. And it was really something I was like, oh, you 16, hello.
Oopsie.
It I know, right?
Like,
I was like,
it looked like her stance came in just a little bit too. Yes. So then obviously you can't get that weight on the downhill ski when you're in a little bit too tight. Maybe she was trying to take some chances.
Yeah, she might have been trying to like cut the line a little bit and just didn't pay off and just dumped in too soon with her hip inside. So anyway, but between her, she was in between Sarah Hector and Valerie Grenier coming down. And if you looked at Grenier had a really nice run with a lot of finesse. She's a really nice touch on the ski and a really nice transition. Sarah Hector, holy friggin' aggressive and strong and just like that wider stance and just powering through. So you can kind of see the two different ways of skiing that slope. And I thought it was really nice to kind of see them ski really close together because you got a very different sense of how different styles of skiing work.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see Val is skiing with confidence now, right? She was seventh in the after the first run and then stepped it up to place fifth. And I find that she's really, really good on the steeps. Her balance is there. Her technique is there. Getting the ski out. Just the right amount of pressure on that ski when you're coming down the steeps is super important. And I think she did a really good job of that.
Yeah, she really does. And like her transition, you can see her getting her hips and coming across the ski where people are a little more hesitant. Or you saw a lot of people really like jamming at the top of the arc or even hopping there. You could see people like coming up in between the turn to try to recover their balance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that is slow. Like that is
don't
something.
Do that.
Yeah, that's like that's something like 1980s straight ski styles. Like you don't want to be coming up off the turn a lot. You want to be moving down the hill because if you see someone come up, you're also seeing them get back a little bit usually.
Yeah,
you're not. It's so because the hill is going down. So you want to transition down the hill and always be moving with the terrain, getting the hips over the feet. Anytime your hips are getting too far back, you're going to be on the tail of the ski riding that third edge.
Oh, and that's going to suck if you do that on the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
I was just reading.
We saw a lot of people really kind of slow down quite a bit by doing that and then try to recover. If you see someone jump and trying to like jump to recover, which there was quite a few people in the transition, they kind of hop from one foot to the next.
Yeah.
That is a recovery move. That means that they are recovering.
Not good.
Nope.
So she was seventh in Solden. So, and now she's fifth. So she's pretty consistent up there. I know she'd like to pop out on that podium though.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there are a couple of people from the lower back numbers, the back of the pack, should we say, attack from the back? Yes.
Yeah.
We're looking at Zizi Lucic, Zrinka, they call her Zizi.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50th to 13th, Croatia. Croatia
That's
has
amazing.
A few younger people coming through, which are also really nice. And Slovenia has some younger skiers coming through as well.
Well, that Zrinka, she's had three top 15 results so far this year in slalom and GS.
Yep. And she's born in 2004, so she's quite young still.
Oh,
she's 19. Wow. 19, 20 years old.
Wow. Yep. Britt Richardson from Canmore, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She had a really solid first run. She was in 10th, made a few little mistakes. And the course is super unforgiving, right? Like you can't make mistakes here. So it kind of looked like in the middle part, she was going a little bit too straight. And kind of a bit jammy, and then her rhythm was off, right? So then it's hard to regain that in an unforgiving course.
Yeah, anytime that you kind of lose the rhythm, it's always an issue because the courses are set with rhythm. There's a flow to them, and when you get in, you can see when someone's in the groove versus when someone's not. And she just kind of like, and you're right, she kind of is the opposite of Grenier and had issues on the pitch and she's faster on the flat. If you got them together.
Woo! That's right. So she did race with Brick Mountain Academy in Vermont.
Nice. So, yeah, so she knows that hill. And the nice thing is that she got points because she came in 22nd. So
she'll
be probably pretty happy with her result because she's coming through.
You know who else is super happy with their win? Is Lara. Do you know how much she made? $90,000 Canadian.
$90,000 Canadian.
Their new sponsor, Stifel, is it? American sponsor, upped the game to make it the highest payout of any World Cup.
Nice.
$90,000. Second place won, I didn't do the conversion.
$90,000, that'll like Canadian. Rent you a basement apartment in Toronto for 3 months.
Oh my god. Second place,
5 tanks of gas.
Oh my god. And it's over. Okay, second, 30 grand American. I don't know what that is in Canadian. Third place, 16,600 American for third. Yeah. So that's pretty good. And they pay all the way down to 30th place.
Yeah. What do you get for 30th?
I don't know what these guys are offering, probably $1,000. I have no idea. I'd take $1,000. Fill up my tank once.
I'll take $20. I'll take anything.
Oh my god, that's funny. What else can we talk about the GS?
I didn't think the GS was all that tricky. Honestly, it was. Yeah, I like the terrain is pretty good. You start off with that pitch. You kind of come into a little bit more of a flat and knoll, and then a little bit more of a pitch. I did like the start being at the top for once with that steep beginning.
But it was windy, and you could see that. So that could have affected some of those people with the windier start.
Maybe. Should we? Before we talk about Sunday's race, let's thank Vogel Marker Del Bello for their support, and also
thank you,
Freshwater Distillery, if you want some.
Yeah,
gin.
That's my favorite one. Hold on a second.
It's delicious.
I'm back. All right.
Let's talk about Sunday, shall we?
Okay. Sunday. Let me get rid of that one. Okay. The slalom.
All right. So slalom's on the same course, Superstar. It starts at 980 meters, finishes at 780, giving it a vertical drop of 200 meters. Our first course setter was German Marcus Lentz with 59 gates, 58 turning gates. Our second course setter was Roberto Lorenzi, Italiano. And he had 62 gates, 61 turning gates.
Wow, yes. Okay, so obviously a difference in the course. So the first run was a pretty fast set. It was a lot straighter, and the girls were just flying, like very, very fast. But the second run.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Second run, more technical, way more technical. Had more gates in it.
Huge.
So, yeah.
You know what? So there that... This hill is interesting. You kind of start off a little bit more of a flat. You've got a little bit of a roll that comes into the second portion of it, which is called Preston's Pitch. And Preston's Pitch is interesting because it kind of it's quite steep. And we had a flush coming into Preston's Pitch, which sped everybody up. And then we had a massive amount of offset. And then it came into a pin. And then there were 3-4 gates, and then it came into another pin, which then had a flat, like kind of a compression flat, which gave a lot of the women trouble. And this is where you saw the race kind of, I think, won or lost.
Well, you had to be more technical. So it wasn't about necessarily going balls out. It was more about, okay, tactics here. We got to ski more technically well. Mm-hmm. It's very turny. A lot of verticals coming at you. You got to get in that rhythm, right? And the second run too, flat or light.
Yeah, exactly. And so coming into that first pin, a lot of people were like, okay, they were prepared coming over the pitch, so on and so forth. The second pin gave them a lot of trouble because their line would get a little late. Maybe it was a bobble because of their struggle or their fatigue or just the pressure off the ski in the wrong part. You had to have a high line and really set up for that second pin in order to exit it with the speed you needed for that. And actually, there was some skiers that I thought that weren't really great at the top. and then just nailed that one combination so they didn't lose their speed coming off of Preston's pitch.
Yeah, tactics, for sure. Yeah. So that's where visualization is very important, right? Knowing where those verticals are, right? And being ready for them.
Yeah, I thought like a really good example of how to ski, it was actually Camille Rast. Uh-huh. She's a Swiss skier. She came in 12th, but she was the first skier out of all of the second run skiers to really nail it cleanly. Everybody after that, like, I mean, there was a few that kind of took it and then kind of made up for it in other portions, but she by far was the first one that I noticed that really took that, especially that second pin, really well.
Yeah. Well, on this hard, icy course, the snow is actually quite grippy, but it's all, again, about the good balance, good positioning, recoveries, right? Because really, nobody is perfect coming down there. Everyone's kind of making these little mistakes, but it's what you do with those mistakes, right? So you regain that balance and the quickness of the feet, obviously agility. You got to have all of that in these steeper pitches.
Yeah, and while this set wasn't, I would say, as fast and as exciting as some of the other ones, it was definitely more of a technical course set where you had to have a bit of more of an eye to see what was going on. So maybe for the average viewer, it would have been a little bit harder to see exactly what mistakes were being made. But for the people who are the avid skiers or the coaches, it was really obvious where the people were having issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And Preston's pitch, man, you're like, you had to nail that coming over that knoll.
Yep.
Did you know who Preston's pitch is named after?
Preston?
Yeah, how did you know that? You're so smart. Preston Leet Smith. So he founded Killington,
the Killington
in 1956.
Founder. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a story that he only had like $3 in his bank account or something?
$1,200 or something.
Oh, okay. I was close enough. $1,200 back in the day, that's like $1 million now, right?
That's right. So this is our third World Cup slalom of the season. So any surprises, do you think, for the results?
I mean, so the interesting thing I found in this is that Lena Durr, for the first run, came in second and her coach set the course. So I think that actually was to her advantage in this one because her second run, she came in, she was the 26th slow skier. So I think that's definitely an example. And in this one, if you looked at actually all of the results, you could see that quite a few people had a really fast first run. And actually kind of a slow second one, aside from Schifrin and Vlhova, which is not really surprising. Wendy Holdner, Swiss, had the fourth fastest time coming into this, but the 21st fastest time. So that's where that like two-run kind of race really comes in handy. I mean, you look at someone like Paula Moltzen from the United States, sixth after the first run, and then had the 20th slowest time on the second run. So you kind of always have to be judging a course also where you see their strengths and weaknesses, because obviously the straighter course was to some benefits. And the second one, you're like, would you have qualified had the first set been the set?
Yeah. Did you see Wendy Holdner, her first skate out? She did it on her inside ski.
Yep. Well, that's why we practice.
Whatever.
Core strength, baby, recovery.
Yeah. So Wendy ended up third. Mm-hmm. So, and I actually have a matching toque. Did you see her name Wendy on her toque?
Oh, yeah.
When I was little, I actually had my name Wendy on my toque, just like hers. It was very similar.
Nice. I think we have to look at some of the attack from the back on this one. Bianca Bakke Vesthoff from Norway, 47 to 18th. Really impressed with that. Really strong skiing. Had a bit of a bobble. Her first run, she was 26th. Her second run, she had the ninth fastest time in a couple of very fast intervals. So that was
you know
great
who
to see.
I liked Marianne Chevrier from France.
Chevrier,
bib number 59. Yeah, 59 to finish 23rd.
Yeah, and it was her third World Cup race ever. She's got to be over the moon, and she's definitely one to watch for then. I mean, she's new to the circuit, so obviously doing a really, really good job. I like the way that Sven Larsson skied, Anna Sven Larsson, Sweden. She was not a lot. She wasn't smooth and she had a lot of effort. Her glide and release, she jammed on her edges quite a lot, but she was aggressive and that's what got her through.
Yeah, I mean, that can make up for for some stuff, right? But really the technical and the tactical approach is very important in these steep, icy slaloms.
Yeah, she had the 12th fastest time for that run, for that second run. Yeah. So that was actually pretty impressive given the fact that she didn't look smooth, but she's strong and she kind of struggled through and she fought it and she got it, right? So again,
that's right.
Then we have right behind her finishing that 17-year-old Albanian-Italian, Laura Colturi. So yeah. Bib 57 to 25. I think we're just going to see that a lot until she just gets better bibs for the next.
Yeah. That's great.
I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon. I really did enjoy watching Asa Ando-san from Japan.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Very solid, right? Mm-hmm. Very stacked really well.
She's not a rookie to the World Cup. She's actually been on the cup for a while, but you could see that she's extremely disciplined and almost stereotypically so for, like, you think of Japanese people, very disciplined, very studied, so on and so forth, but very conservative. And she didn't risk it when she could have. And I think that really kind of hurts her skiing style.
Yeah. 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 Yes, I fully agree. Our Canadian, Amelia Smart, she didn't qualify, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bummer. And our other Canadian didn't finish the first run, Justine Lamontagne.
Yep, but we had Ali Nelmeyer and Lolo St. Germain coming right next to each other in 13th and 14th.
Right, so Ali's had 2 sixth place finishes in Levi's.
Oh, I'm so glad that you make me look good.
You're welcome. Give me the $20 later. So Laurence, 29 years old. She's the reigning world champion. Did you see her drop her pole?
Yes, I did. Oopsies. She's done that twice lately, didn't she?
Well, someone else dropped their pole as well. And that's hard. It's kind of like you drop your pole and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah, well, there goes your focus for a second, right? And that's that becomes problematic.
Yeah.
Hopefully
she did Laurence did have a few mistakes though. She got inside a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that caused her to be a bit off balance. I think she could have finished a little bit higher if she didn't make those mistakes. But again, everyone makes mistakes the whole way down.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing that we all have with Canadians is that we're not overly consistent in our results sometimes. like we're these women are in the top 30, which is, I guess, consistent enough, but I mean, they're, I think last year they were in the top 10. This year they're in top 15.
Yeah.
But overall throughout the season, they're kind of a little bit all over the map.
Well, we'll get the season going. They'll get in the flow of it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You got a feel for her. You got a feel for Vlahova, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has come second 4 times to Shiffrin in Killington. This was her 5th time coming second.
Yep. Front her up 5 times in a row. And I, you know, we kind of tease and say, oh, silver is the first loser. But at this point, it's got to be like rubbing it in. You know what I mean? Like salt in the wound.
and you see her half smile.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't do the big teeth. Yay.
Yeah,
it's more like, yeah. I mean, she has had 29 wins and she rocked it last slalom, right? She killed it.
I know, but Shiffrin was first in the first run and first in the second run. I mean, this course is hers, right? So
yeah,
look at the time.
She won. She didn't win last year, but she did win the 5 prior.
And if you're looking at the rest of the field, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Vlahova's only 0.33 behind Shiffrin overall.
Yeah.
But then you go to third place, 1.37 seconds.
Yeah.
That's big. And so we know that we're going to have a Vlahova, Mikaela Shiffrin, I think, slalom off.
Yeah.
Throughout the
slalom
season.
Off.
And basically, I mean, exactly, like Vlahova bailed out and Levy, so Shiffrin got the win, right? So it's just going to be one of those things where I think that it's going to have to be like major. They're going to have to sadly kind of hoping for each other to make major mistakes.
Not, they'll never say that out loud. But
no, they won't. But you know that they are.
But I found Shiffrin all business in the start gate, visualizing, and she went out there and she did her job, right? And she had perfect balance. Like it was very nice to watch. Nothing over dramatic and, you know, scary.
No, it was
like,
almost actually
very solid.
It was one of those kind of runs that it almost seems boring.
Yeah, because it was so nice.
Like, yeah, and you're like, if I didn't have a green light the whole way coming down, I'm like, would this be as fast as I think it is? Like, I'm not exactly sure. So, it was great to watch.
But I think with the crowd behind her, yes, it it builds you up, it boosts you, it's, you know, you got their support, but there's that added pressure, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Right? So expectations.
Can we talk briefly about the Austrian team and how
only
the coaches...
Only after we acknowledge that that was Schifrin's 90th win.
I know. Yes, I know. She's got to be going gunning for 100 for this season.
Like, come on.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
I think it'll be a while until we see someone try to break those records.
Yep. Indeed. Maybe that Lara Kulturi.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. She's got some time.
Yeah.
A couple of young
ones. What do you want to talk about the Austrians?
How do the coaches keep track of all the Katarinas?
There's only four.
Did you ever have that, like, when you were growing up, that you had a third grade, we had like four Chrises in our class? Like, is this just a popular name for that cohort of children?
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's like the Latina chicks. All their first names is Maria. It's always Maria.
So can you imagine, though, like being on mic, like, this is Katarina, like, this is Katarina.
God. And Katarina and Katarina.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, and then one's last name is Gallhuber and the other one's name is Huber.
So. Oh, man. So just... Yeah. No, that would be a little confusing.
Like, I'm sure they all have nicknames and stuff, but I just.
One was Katy.
Yep. Katy is Katy Truppe.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Not our job to keep track of them. That's their job.
Well, it kind of is our job to keep track of them because we're recording on this stuff.
They get in the top three, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, like, the men were, not racing again, so we don't really have a long episode to go on here.
No, we'll look forward to covering them next weekend, and then the Tremblant races are coming up as well for the ladies this weekend.
Which we will be there for, so... Ooh, ooh. Yeah, that's it's going to be fun.
Yes, it will be.
Home soil. Watch out for those French Canadians, Wendy.
Oui, c'est ça.
C'est ça. Anyway, I don't really have anything else to say, do you?
Nope.
All right, well, I guess for us this week, I've been Shelly.
And I've been Wendy, and I'm still Wendy, but...
All right. Well, keep your tips, everybody. Keep bye-bye, your tips everybody. Up. I don't even think I said that properly.
Try it one more time. I'm listening. Ready?
All right. Keep your tips up.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
In my house.
Why don't you change the temperature?
I'm wearing these big fuzzy fleecy pants. It's making me sweat to death.
They're for like minus 40. Baby, no one would know.
I don't want to scare anybody. You know what I'm saying?
What, in your house?
Oh, yes.
With your shirts like down your knees.
It is.
So who cares?
You're right.
Wendy's taking off her pants.
I'm taking off my pants.
This podcast is brought to you by Pantsless Wendy.
No pants. Yeah, like, I'm seriously sweating to death. So I'm thinking.